Hello, friends, and welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and encouragement you need. Thanks for bringing us along. And now, your host, Lynette Ezell.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast today. I hope everyone's doing well through this COVID and how we're doing things at home a little different. So today, just kind of take a break, sit back and listen with us. And we want to talk about open adoption today. I think open adoption can make families a bit nervous or apprehensive because they're afraid that maybe they'll lose power or lose a relationship with their adopted child. And so I've really been wanting to talk about this for some time. And then the Lord was so gracious because He brought two great ladies into my life, Karen LaBarre and Christy Harmon. And I just welcome them today. I want them to share their story. But gals, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So, pleasure Karen, to be here, Lynette.
Oh, good. So, Karen, I know you and Jim live here in Atlanta, and you adopted Christy in 1990. And, Christy, you're now the Pregnancy Counseling Director at Lifeline Children's Services. You're still there, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you still work in adoption, an adoptee working in adoption.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it. And so, and you all have a 1.5-year-old. And so, how's that going?
It has been interesting with COVID, Lynette, having a 1.5-year-old and working a full-time job, but we're doing great.
Oh, that is fantastic. And then, Karen, you still work with, you still work in adoption and speak on adoption. When you also adopted two children, is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 4 years later, we adopted Davy.
Wow.
He's 26 now and Christy's 30, and we love them both.
Oh, that is incredible. I know you do, and I know you're so proud of them. We are now getting into the parenting young adult adopted, and it's a different way. It's a beautiful relationship, though, and I just love the openness when you can have an open relationship and talk about things. But your story is different from mine, and so I want you to share about that process, about when the child is ready to meet or begins asking questions, or just share with us, Karen, a little bit how you began your relationship with Christy's birth mom, because this moved from a closed adoption to an open adoption. Is that right?
That's right.
Tell us how that happened.
Well, we were connected with Bonnie, her birth mother, in a very unusual way through a mutual friend and another mutual friend and a series of people that connected the two of us. And we began writing back and forth with Bonnie all through the pregnancy. So I think our first letters were in February and Christy wasn't born till August. And this was a private arrangement, whereas Davies was an agency adoption. And I do recommend agency adoptions. But once I felt a heart connection with Bonnie as we wrote back and forth, and apparently she did with us, and all of it was through the attorney that we were using, so there was no direct contact. And then afterwards, the attorney basically said, we don't recommend you continue staying in touch. She needs to move on in her life, and so it's not recommended that you stay in touch. Well, about 3 years later, we were trying to adopt again, and I came in contact with an adoption professional who sensitized me to the needs of the birth mother.
Oh, I love that.
And my heart went out to her, and I thought, you know what, the least I can do is establish communication with her, because she's gone through all the stretches and strains of pregnancy and the pain of childbirth and the sorrow of leaving the hospital with empty arms. And we have this wonderful child. Why should she be wondering how Christy is and how loved she is? And why should she be wondering what we're saying about her and the birth father? So I was very motivated after hearing that to say, I want to establish connection. So we did through this mutual friend who connected, was the first connection with us, to Bonnie, and began writing letters back and forth and sending her wads of pictures each year. And it would only be one time a year, basically, at Christie's birthday. And I would send like an update on the year and all the cute things she was doing and saying, and I would brag, you know, all about how wonderful she was. There's nobody you can brag to who wants to hear it more than maybe your mother, but the birth mother. Oh. She really wants to hear that. So, you know, it was a joy, but it was also something to do very, very carefully because you knew how significant this would be. And then she would wait several months before she would respond. And again, I think for the same reason, that she wanted the letter to be perfect because maybe Christie would see it one day. And because, you know, it represented her in that way. So that's how we got connected. And that went on until Christie was 12.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, because the heart of the Lord is all about building relationships. And Karen, I love how you had such a heart for Bonnie and knew the grief and loss she must have been carrying, knowing that she felt she did what was best for her daughter. But at the same time, she had, you know, an empty home, a home without
right.
this child. And so what a beautiful picture of the love of the Lord, of just his pursuing relationship. Were you ever, did you have any fears or concerns, Karen, about letting her into Christie's life?
Well, no. You know, at first, Christie was not involved in any way. She knew nothing about these letters. Then when Christie was turning 13, I just felt like it was time to establish direct communication with her, because Bonnie always expressed such amazement that we would open that door at all, open the door to communication at all. And she was so thankful for the pictures and the communication. So I felt like her attitude was such that she, you know, would be fine if we set it up directly and if she had our address and our names and all of that. And, you know, she had proved herself in that way. And, I just felt like, you know, God was in control.
That's right.
And whatever happened would, you know, would work out and would be okay. So at that point, I invited her to actually write a letter to Christie for her 13th birthday. And I had asked a number of other significant people in Christie's life to do that. So she wrote like six pages, Christie, or more?
And it's a lot.
A bunch of pictures, including a picture of the birth father. So that I gave that to Christie at a dinner out with just her and the two of
wow.
us. The two of us just talked about, you know, how much we appreciated Bonnie. And I had not looked at that letter, I'm pretty sure, and I just gave it to her, trusting that it would be a good thing.
Wow, Chris, that's amazing. Christy, when did you know growing up you were adopted?
Yeah, absolutely, Lynette. I feel like my parents really celebrated me and my brother's adoption stories in our home, and you know, we would pray for birth mom and birth dad, and we would talk about them pretty regularly. You know, I loved to dance, and my dad would always say, "You are such a good dancer. Did you know your birth mom loved to dance?"
Oh,
and
yeah.
They would just bring it up, and they were in a way a part of our family, even though we didn't have a relationship with them. And so I never felt like my adoption was a secret. In fact, it really couldn't have been, because I'm 5'1" and my dad is 6'9". And so when I started learning about genetics, something would have come up, I'm sure, if I hadn't known before that. But, you know, my parents, I never sensed that insecurity that some parents have. And I think it's because they truly demonstrated a trust and reliance in the Lord. And I don't think my mom would say this, but I see it even now that they know that, you know, God gifted them and entrusted me and my brother to them, but ultimately we belong to the Lord. Mm. And so they had this open-handedness, and whenever we talked about it, whenever I had questions, they were very open about things. So I kind of just always thought it was normal to be adopted, and I felt kind of sad for one of my friends in first grade. I remember I found out she was not adopted, and I just thought, how sad that she doesn't have a birth mom and a birth dad that loved her so much that, you know, I just felt so bad for her in that way. So it's just a very normal part of my childhood.
Oh, that is great. And this is, this is a work that involves a lot of trust, stepping forward in faith. And just like you said, you knew, Karen, I think you said you knew the Lord was in it and he was championing this and moving you all forward in this. But it really does bring honor to the whole gamut, right? To the whole family, meaning, you know, it brings honor to the bio parents and to the adoptive parents. But I don't know, Christy, to me, it would just give such value to your story to have your birth parents valued.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wasn't a particularly curious child. I think, you know, we talked about them so regularly, but not in depth. And so I think that's why when I was 13, my mom wanted to give me a little bit more and kind of initiated more of that conversation, because I just wasn't naturally very curious. My brother, on the other hand, was. He would ask all kinds of questions. But, right. You know, I think that I did feel very secure in my adoption story and felt very much that it wasn't this big secret or this heavy thing that was different about me, but that it was just a part of how the Lord chose to bring me to himself. And so, yeah, I do feel like having some openness and having some that just be a part of what's talked about in the home can be so healthy for everybody.
Absolutely. Oh, that is incredible. So you received this letter on your 13th birthday, and you said it was 6 pages long?
Yeah.
That had to be a game changer for you.
Yes, and it was so cool because my mom gathered letters from a lot of significant people in my life, kind of sending me into my teenage years, I guess. And so my grandmother, my aunts, my significant teachers in my life, like, they all wrote me letters. And then the last letter that I opened was from Bonnie, and was pictures. And she just, you know, shared how proud she was of me and how thankful she was for my parents. And she was very affirming of my mom and dad, which is something every teenage girl needs to hear.
Yes.
And so, but that started our direct communication and our direct relationship.
Wow. And so today, can you just kind of, so you started there at 13, now you're married, you and William have this little boy. How does it look like now? Like, how did you begin your relationship at 13 with your birth mom? And then I guess your birth dad then came in the picture later?
Yeah. So I met Bonnie for the first time when I was 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
So we started kind of communicating back and forth after she sent me that letter. And then when I was 15, my mom and dad planned a trip for our whole family to just go down and visit her for a day. And they figured if it goes horribly wrong, it's just a day and we're on the way to the beach, so we'll have a good family vacation. Or if it's a great experience, then, you know, we can always do it again. And it was so surreal. I remember very vividly driving down. It was like a 9-hour drive or something like that, Mom, right? It was long. Yeah. And just being like, what is it going to be like to meet my birth mom for the first time? And I remember seeing her. She's waiting in the driveway, and she has two little boys with her husband. And so they're my half brothers. But she was the only one that was waiting in the driveway. And I just remember her crying and running and hugging me.
Wow.
And it was special in a way, but I also have this overwhelming feeling, Lynette, that she knows me, but I don't know her.
Right.
It wasn't like there was this void that was being filled in my life. I had my parents. They drove me there. And I have incredible, incredible godly parents. And so I felt like this was the beginning of a new relationship, and it was going to be really good and really beautiful. But it was this, you know, it's not like I was like, oh, this is my real mom, if that makes sense.
Right.
And not every child that's adopted would feel that way, I think, when meeting their birth mother for the first time. But I have this deep love and affection for her that grew from my parents' love and affection from her, that I didn't feel like I had this missing piece of me. I was like, okay, now I get to meet her and get to know her. And I felt like we were beginning a relationship, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So it was just another chapter in your story, and you were kind of getting all the pieces filled in.
Right.
I can't imagine how did you process, how did it feel learning things about yourself that you didn't know, like your height and things that your birth mom would tell you? Like, that had to be kind of fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. And, you know, there were really, I'd never met anybody that had the same size shoe as I did. You know,
right.
I have really small feet. And so that was really fun. There are also pieces of my story that I came to understand, you know, kind of more of why adoption was a really good thing for me. And I think that I became more deeply grateful for my parents and for Bonnie's bravery in choosing them, as I've learned more about some of the harder things that have happened in Bonnie's life. And so I do feel like knowing her really did help me to feel even a deeper gratitude for my adoption story. And then when I met my birth father, Bonnie always would say, you need to meet your birth dad. You need to meet your birth dad. He would love to meet you. And I did not really pursue that until I got engaged. And my now husband said, you know, if I were your birth dad, I would want to know that you were getting married. You don't know if he has other daughters or what his situation is. And so I did what any good millennial would do. And I reached out to him on Facebook. I never even thought to do that before or look him up, but I knew his first and last name because Bonnie had told me. And so I just messaged him and just said, I'm not looking for anything from you. But I do want you to know how grateful I am for the life that you have given me. And
so he didn't feel threatened at all by your message.
I don't think so. He responded a little while later and had basically said that he's been waiting for years for me to show up at his doorstep angry. And so I think it was kind of a weight off of his shoulders, and he doesn't have any other children and is not married. And so then I got to meet him that next summer, and William and I went and spent some time down in Florida with him and his whole family. And I found out there that his grandmother only speaks Spanish. And so I didn't know that piece of our story, that she's really from Mexico. And so that was another fun little piece of just learning and growing and getting to know kind of more of a piece of my story by meeting Shane.
Right. You know, I've walked through hundreds of adoptions with people, and sometimes, sadly, it's just not safe to do this. You know, sometimes it's just you realize it's not the right time to walk into maybe this brokenness, and you really have to pray and ask the Lord for discernment on the right time. But that's what I love about your story, how the Lord just kept it, Karen, on your heart, and you trusted him, and then slowly, because this wasn't a quick fix, slowly the Lord began to he just began to really bring about this beautiful relationship, this bring all the pieces together for Christy's life. Karen, I know, I can't imagine the strength it takes for a birth parent to place their baby up for adoption, And I know that was heavy on your heart. Can you just share with us kind of how you kind of directed that spirit in your home, that flavor in your home, the kind of that aroma of Christ that gave honor to to Christy's birth parents? What are some things you did to bring them honor before Christy even met them?
Well, I think one thing is when we would talk about their adoption situation, and we did from the very beginning, there was never a time they didn't know they were adopted. And what we would stress was just their birth mother's love for them, mm-hmm. that they would go through all of what they did to entrust each of them to us, and that they made that choice out of love. And then we would pray for them and thank God for them on significant days. And then keeping all the correspondence for Christy to read later. And unfortunately, we don't have the communication with Davy's birth mother. She did not continue to pursue correspondence, which we started from the beginning through the agency we worked with. And we were sending the pattern of letters. It's kind of like at the well baby checkpoint.
Yeah.
We were sending updates with pictures and everything. And then she dropped it, but she was very, very young. And we knew some negative things about her situation and the birth father being really too old for that situation.
Oh, okay.
And so, but we would, at age appropriate points, try to tell them both their story. There's a great book by Jane Schooler called Telling the Truth to Your Adopted and Foster Child. And it really talks about that they're going to know their story from somebody in the family sometime or some friend. So getting ahead of that by telling them their story before they hit puberty is really important, so that they will understand your perspective on it and not make up so much in their heads when left to their own devices. So contrary to what Christy said, we believe we told her several times that she had Hispanic blood in her, but
Christy, you forgot.
Hear that.
I don't think I forgot. It just is real when it's like, oh, they actually don't speak English.
Right.
Yeah, that makes it real.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so neat.
But anyway, and then I think, making the effort to make that trip. And then Jim and I actually made a trip down to Florida to meet the birth father after he and Christy had developed their relationship. Jim and I thought, we want to go down there and just affirm him and listen to him and get to know him. So we did that. And then he and his mom actually came to Christy's graduation from graduate school. And Bonnie and her family, we visited when Christy was 17. So we met her birth grandparents on Bonnie's parents and some other relatives there, and a bunch of their friends who had prayed through the whole adoption from their point of view back when. And then we invited Christy's birth mother and her family to the wedding. And we're delighted that that the grandparents and Bonnie's husband and two boys came. So I think just having an attitude of these children are gifts from the Lord, which mm-hmm. actually every child is. Not having any bio kids of my own, I don't know. If I would have that kind of an attitude as strongly as I do when being infertile and being gifted with these two children, it's just so obvious. I think every adoption's got a lot of miracles involved in it. But as far as the concern about letting her in, I think, like Davy's situation with his birth parents. We had no way of connecting. I've looked on Facebook. I've Googled her. I've got her last name, or her maiden name anyway. But I think in that situation, and we're wide open if he can ever find her, we're all for it, except I would strongly encourage that there be professional adoption people mediating that meeting.
Yes.
And setting up expectations on her side and setting up expectations on Davy's side, and going into it not with just curiosity of, oh, I want to know this about my past, but with a, with the right attitude, and realizing that her perception of what would go on would be very different probably from what he might think. So
right.
I would definitely want mediation. And I think agencies now that are urging open adoption from the beginning give really wise guidance for how that should be processed, and how to set up the right boundaries, and how to negotiate the rough spots and all of that. And I think that's crucially important for both sides.
Yeah. You know, Karen,
for all three sides, actually.
Right.
The whole triad.
I'm so grateful you brought in supporting our agencies, you know, that are really stepping into this, our adoption agencies and adoption lawyers who are stepping into this and seeing the need to support this, like you said, on all three sides. Because this is relational. This isn't a transaction. We're stepping into relationship.
No.
We step into adoption. And you have just beautifully given us some great advice, Karen, on that and how to do that, and been such a picture of that, because it is stepping into relationship. It's not a business transaction.
No. It's not a once and done.
Right.
You know, you need to be willing to move ahead with, okay, what are the other implications?
Christy, has this relationship with your, now that you're a young adult, like we were just talking about, has your relationship with them, maybe just give some advice when it can get a little difficult to have a relationship with our birth parents? Because it's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. Like, there can be some tricky moments, like there are in all of our relationships. And so I'm sure there can be some rough spots. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And it has not always been easy having a relationship with them. And I think that the thing that I am reminded of again and again and again is that they gifted me with parents who led me to the Lord, and that's where my hope lies. And I want them to see Christ in me, and I want them to be encouraged by me. So even if there are times when they may be difficult for me to love,
yeah,
as we all are at
absolutely
times,
yes,
I'm still committed to them, and I'm committed to loving them, because I want them to have the hope of Jesus, despite what decisions they may have made in the past, or things that they say or do that I might not agree with, or that might make our relationship a little tricky. It's still worth it, because they are loved by God, and I am committed to doing that too.
As we get ready to end, Christy, now that you're a mom yourself and you're building your little family and you work in adoption, what does your relationship with your birth parents look like now as an adult?
Yeah, you know, I'm very thankful that my daughter, Charlie Ann, she's gotten to meet both my birth mommy and my birth dad and grandparents. And, you know, it is tricky because my husband has a big family. I have a big family. I have a big extended biological family. And so definitely trying to keep those relationships can be tricky at times. But I'm just so thankful that there are so many people that love me and love her, and just praying for the Lord to continue to give wisdom as we move forward, being really good parents and helping her to establish those relationships too, if she's wanting that. So
yeah, that's a good point. If she's wanting that, That's a really good point. But I just love how I tell my kids all the time when we're in a rough spot, I'll say, hey, guys, don't forget that the Lord moved the world to make us a family. And you guys are a beautiful picture of that, and how he builds families every single day and in so many different ways. But he just brings us from all over the world to make us a family.
I love that.
In Psalm 120 this morning, I was just, the Lord was reminding me, I was listening to that on the way here today, and how he is the Lord who restores and rebuilds, and how he enters our mess and how he does that for us. And then he gives us a picture of how to do it and equips us to do that. And so, Karen and Christy, thank you so much for sharing your story today, for kind of maybe help some families overcome the fear of stepping into open adoption, of trusting the Lord in it, how it's looked different, you know, Karen, with Christy, and then it's looked different with Davy's adoption, and how you've just trusted the Lord through that. So thanks for sharing with us today and your time. And, you know, we just hope we can be a blessing to those who are considering open adoption.
Absolutely. Our pleasure to be with you.
Thanks, Lynette.
Thank you.
This has been the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast, a ministry of Send Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find more and subscribe at sendrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us part of your journey.